Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, dear listeners. You're about to hear The Boop Show. And oftentimes I get asked by Boop Show listeners, is there a way to support the show that won't break the bank, but also let me just show my love to the content I love the most? And my answer to that question, it's never really asked in those terms, but when I answer that, I say, yes, there is. It's the Frog Pants Patreon at patreon.com/frogpants. Go there today and give what you can. That's patreon.com/frogpants. This is the Boop Show for April 1st, 2019. Oh, I should say April. April 1st, 2019. Hi, what's up? Making me laugh with your dance today. Plus, I am a bag of chips here. I can't talk. It's the Boop Show. Hello. Hello. It's me, Scott Johnson, with Brian Dunaway over there. What's going on, Brian Dunaway?
Hello. I'm a bag of chips. Yeah. I can't talk today. That's a Scottism I've ever heard one.
Yeah,
I'm a bag of chips.
Sometimes you just got to say what you got to say. I'm
now, are you like the bag of chips with all the air inside with just a little bit of chips at the bottom, or
always?
Yeah.
100% always. Plus I'm nursing a cold.
Some settling may have occurred.
Yeah, maybe. But it's making me feel stupid today. I feel stupid.
Oh. I love when I get sick. I don't really love when I get sick, but I do like the advantage of being sick and at home all day and playing video games.
Oh, well, I wish I'd have done that today. Instead, I've worked most of it. I did fall asleep on the couch and got a kinked neck. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. As long as I'm not puking.
Oh, no puking. No puking. Yeah. Just a cold, just a mild cold.
Yeah.
I haven't puked since 2005. It's still.
What's your favorite sick day video game? Do you have one? Is there a genre?
Yeah, I think it's just MMOs, just grinding it out in World of Warcraft or something like that. I think that's
right.
It. Yeah, because you can kind of mindlessly do that and not have to think too hard about it.
And yeah, you can cough. You got to collect some more berries.
Yeah, you can have a little TV going. You can just chill. Yeah, I think that's
that's
one.
What, I like.
What about you? What do you do?
Well, the last couple of times I've felt under the weather, I've played a little arena Magic the Gathering online.
People seem to like that. They like that implementation of Magic, turns out.
Yeah, and I don't try to focus too hard on it. That's one of those where I just kind of just like play through. It's like wherever I'm handed, I'm like, yeah, I'll play that.
Yeah.
And it looks good.
There's nothing wrong with that. I can't do mobile when I'm sick. For some reason, mobile games make my head hurt.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Even on a big tablet, it's just like, I don't want to do this right now. I need to sit in a place where I'm just sort of back a little bit and kind of slouched and sit in my own filth. Yeah, that's the way to live.
And then find that ice cream in the freezer you forgot you had.
That's a bad idea when you have a cold. You get all congested.
I know, but still, it's so good. It feels so good to the throat. Because usually when I get a cold, it's like the throat sore. Oh,
yeah, but then you're all mucusy from all the milk matter you just put in your throat. Ooh.
Milk matter?
Milk matter.
What?
Milk matter intolerant. All right. It's time for a video game show, everybody. It's called The Boop Show. We get on here and old pals, Scott and Brian, talk about video games they're into and kind of stuff we're playing right now. And today's no different. I'm going to start us off today with a game I just got a code for and wasn't sure what it was until I plugged it in, turned it on, and saw what was what. And it's a game called Deck. Deck, D-E-C-K. Hold on, my sneeze.
All right.
Excuse me. Deck of Ashes. Deck of Ashes. Have you heard of it?
No. Is this like a card game?
It is. Cards are involved. That's weird. That's not working at all. Hold on a second. We're supposed to be seeing it.
Deck of Ashes, a card game by publisher A Games, A-Y-E.
Yeah, games. It's, yes. And here's the deal with this here game. It's, you know about Slay the Spire. You've at least heard of it if you've not played it.
Yeah, I've played it. Yeah.
Very popular. Hope that comes other tablets or other tablets, other platforms, because I think it would do well just about everywhere. It's got a terrible art style, but the gameplay in Slay the Spire is really awesome. But it's unlike the game you just talked about, Arena, which is a deck collector or a CCG, this is a deck builder. Mm. And by builder, I mean you kind of have this roguelike campaign thing where you go and you take your character out into the world and you fight whoever you run into based on a bunch of cards that you collect throughout the adventure. And the stuff is kind of random every time. And the first few battles you have are simple, or not simple, but not less hard. But you also have less powerful cards. So it's got kind of a slow ramp up. And every time you win a battle, you might get some cards out of that as loot, or you can get those at little purchasing places on the way, or there might be events on the map where you can get those cards. That's true of Slay the Spire. It's definitely true here. I'm also playing a game on iOS called, now I've forgotten the name of it, Pirate Outlaws. Pirates Outlaws with two S. I don't know why that's a terrible name. Because
there are pirates and outlaws. There's like so many of them.
Yeah. I don't know if that's possession or if that's pirates slash outlaws or if that's pirates outlaws. I don't understand. It's like Carl's Jr. It's like buying a chicken sandwich at Carl's Jr.
Yeah, I love Carl's Jr. though.
So anyway.
Hey.
Yeah.
Your anti-heroes? So these are all like our anti-hero kind of games.
Well, no. You're still a hero. Like you're still a... You know, you're picking a hero and you go out into the world and you're trying to conquer evil and all that. But you do it with card battles. So in like Slay the Spire, in this game called Deck of Ashes, you go into the world. There's an overworld map and you can choose kind of what path you want to take. And especially when you just start out, that's kind of all you can do. There's a lot of stuff to do at camp, like upgrade your stuff and do some other things at camp. But we're not going to talk about camp for a minute. I'm going to talk about the actual gameplay. So you go out into the map. And you're like, there's a battle. So you click on that on the path, and your little icon scooches up on the map to where the battle is, and then you go into battle mode. And battle mode is this, right now there's only this lady available. She's like a mage, evil mage, or she was there's a whole story about her getting turned into like a super-powered fire lady, okay? Oh. I couldn't tell you the exact details of the lore. It was all a little bit over my head. But anyway, she gets all... fired up, and you put her out there, and she's and does a lot of, you know, like a fighting game, standing there, and then across the way, three or four bad guys clunk get thrown down in front of you, and now you got to fight them. It deals you five cards to start with. I think it's five cards, and you have a total of five action points, and each card has a little action point indicator how much action it'll take to use one card. This is exactly like Slay the Spire. It's exactly like the one I just said, Pirates Outlaws. Let's say Firebolt. That'll cause 10 damage to the enemy I want to hit, okay? But it's going to cost me 3 points of, what do you call it? 3 points
is
of...
Is it action points, or is it just like something you collect over time?
Action points, yeah. Those can increase because maybe you find a relic that gives you 2 extra action points for every round, or, you know, you can augment that. Again, Slay the Spire, same thing. They do the exact same thing. And so does this other mobile game. So if it sounds like I'm saying that this is... not a ripoff, but if it sounds like I'm saying this is a lot like Slay the Spire, it is absolutely a lot like it. Now, there's a few key differences. Some of the card play is a little bit different. How you use your cards, how you discard cards after a round. They don't really have that mechanic in these other games, but this one does. But other than that, it's kind of the same. You use whatever you've got action points for. You try to be strategic and tactical about it. Like, well, let's see, I'll give myself 10 shield. And I'll attack him for 1 or for 10 points. And those are the 2 cards I'll use up. And then I'm all out of action points. And now it's his turn. And now the ugly demon or the creature on the other side casts whatever he's got. And you go back and forth until only one of you is living. Now, the more, the better you do, the further you get, obviously. And if you get to the big boss, you get a ton of rad loot and a whole bunch of cool stuff to start the next run with. If you don't get there, you have gold to go back and spend, but you're dead. You're done. You got to start over. The levels or the order in which you do your battling is is procedural, meaning it's all sort of random. Not random, right. But, you know, happens in a procedural way, and it's never the same. So it feels like a new game every time you're playing it. And I guess all I would say is if you like Slay the Spire, this is a totally like that, except it has a really... It has an actual art direction.
Yeah, just, that's what I was going to say, because just looking at it, I love the background stuff. Now, all these characters look very stiff. I'm assuming they probably kind of bounce in their space. They just kind of move up and down, make very limited animation.
Oh, yeah.
Is that kind of what I'm getting? Yeah.
For sure. And all three games, this is true. The only difference here is that this has a lot of intricate detail in the art, but it's still kind of... These aren't battles where when you play the card, your character winds up and throws a really rad fireball across the way. I wish it did. That'd be awesome. Like, right. I'd be super into that idea. But That
cost money.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I get the feeling this is an up-and-coming genre segment that's just going to keep happening. And I think it's going to be bigger and bigger on mobile. I think things like the Switch are going to start get inundated with games like this. I think Steam's going to be a test bed for the sort of stuff. And I don't have a problem with that. I 100% think that's great because I like it when things get iterated into something. Somebody comes up with a great version of it, and then suddenly everybody wants to make one or outdo it. I think that's good for the business and good for the industry and good for players. So I don't see this as just a bunch of clones of Slay the Spire. I see this as, well, at least so far, and this one's an example of that, I'm seeing quality attempts to achieve what Slay the Spire does. If I'm gonna be honest and tell you which of the three of those I've just mentioned that I prefer playing the most right now, I think it's this Pirate Outlaws thing on mobile. And part for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's not a free-to-play microtransaction-y stupid game. So you can just buy Pirates Outlaws and just play it. So it just costs money.
My pirate's in-laws.
Yep.
Meet the pirates.
Exactly. Everything in the game you earn in-game. There's one exception. If you wanted to buy a bunch of gold, I guess you can. But also there's a character in there that you can only buy with money. And they make it a point that it's a $4.99 character.
Right.
You buy him, you get all his abilities are money abilities. So all of the stuff he shoots out or hits you with are all made of gold, or gold comes spraying out of things, or he's just meant to be money guy, and he's all fancied up with a fancy hat and all this. It's all very jokey and everything, but you can pay $5 and just get that dude, and that's how you can support the developers. So I don't have problems with stuff like that when it doesn't affect or even have anything to do with gameplay. It's like purely a support thing. Totally cool with that.
And that was a lot more cartoony, and it's a little cuter.
Oh, it's a lot cuter, It's a lot more low-poly, sort of, and intentionally, too, but it's not...
Yeah.
And the thing is, these games don't really need... The card play is what matters most. They don't really need fancy graphics to blow people away, but I am looking for that time where somebody makes... Where they nail the card combat really well, but also they go crazy with the visuals. I think that would be super cool. Right. And they wouldn't have to do that much to do it. Like, you know...
No, I mean, because you're talking about some animatics, right? I mean, you're just talking about a little bit of animation would go a long way. This Deck of Ashes, which doesn't release until about 9 days from now, the 10th, hasn't come out yet. It looks good. I like the art style. Like you said, the art direction looks like they had at least had one.
Yeah, they have an artist somewhere working.
Right.
And it's kind of it's a little what's the Darkest Dungeons style ish, a little brighter than that, but kind of in that vein. Again, a really cool aesthetic that I think is rad if people are working within that.
How's the voice? Is there any voice acting?
There is. It's minimal. It's mostly like sounds. It's not a lot of talking.
I'm good with that.
Yeah. Well, at least this version. I don't know if the final will have it. This says in that when you go launch it, it says welcome to the demo, but it's clearly like a early access, you know, build of the game. There's only one character available. The other characters that you can choose aren't unlockable yet. One would assume when this hits in a couple of weeks that it will have all of that, but it's missing some features, but the core of the game is there. I think what impressed me about it, or what's the big difference here, is Slay the Spire and games like it are just kind of branching paths. So when you're between battles, you're just like, well, should I go that way or this way? I'll go this way. Oh, it's a battle, I better fight. Or this one's like, oh, it's a treasure, I'll open it up and take whatever is in the box. This has this big, I think, more complicated sort of map, and it's full of everything from events to to battles, to shops, to rest places, like a kind of a more of a D&D approach. And so you're clicking on these other areas, not necessarily sure what you're going to be getting. And sometimes you lose these events, like, will you negotiate with the trader on the road? And you hit yes, and then you may walk away with a bunch of gold. Or you may walk away with 10 less hit points because it turns out he was a fake and he stabbed you and took your money and ran. So you lost both blood and money. Like that kind of thing. Dynamic, interesting. You got to make a lot of choices up there. It's not a, you know, it's not like you're spending hours there and hardly any time card battling. You mostly card battle, but there is that aspect to it. Again, I cannot emphasize this enough. I'm not a big CCG guy. I don't really like games like Hearthstone and Magic Arena and Eternal and all those games. They're fine for what they are, and I know they have their audience. It's just never been my thing to try to buy packs of things and hope I have cool cards in those packs and then dust the ones I don't need and then make ones I don't have. It's not my thing. What I like is this approach, a deck builder in the traditional sense, where as I go through the game, I unlock the ability to make certain cards. Now I have them all the time. It's not their monetary model for this game is not buy cards. That's not it.
Right.
It's here's the deck. Now play a game. Like it would be like, here's the difference, Brian. It's like me handing you a deck of poker cards and saying, Brian, let's play poker. And you're like, yeah, I'll build a hand and make a hand out of this deck of cards that you already have and you're done with. Or it's me saying, here, Brian, is an ace, a two, and a queen. Good luck building your deck. And then you got to play until you build your 52 cards. I don't want that version. I want the previous version. I want to build it as I play it. I want to play the damn game. I don't want to play this luck.
You know that I'm kind of almost the opposite. I almost hate the part where we play the game because I get so excited about building the deck that it can only be disappointing when it doesn't perform as I had hoped. So I like sitting there dreaming. It's almost like how I play D&D. I've made so many character sheets, it's insane. And it's like, because once you actually get into the situation, you're like, oh, I've got it all figured out. My character does this and I rolled really well and here we go. And my character sucks. It sucks.
No, I understand.
Can he die quick enough? Not even.
Sometimes the building is the fun part. I understand that. Sure.
It is a fun part for me. Deck of Ashes is AY Games. It's a Russian developer.
Russian joint, yep.
Yeah. And they've got like four or five artists on staff. They've got a pretty large staff, a pretty big group for this thing. So I guess that's the reason why it looks so put together so well.
No, it has that one problem that I don't love about a lot of games these days with lower budgets. And that is like, you know, these engines support doing all kinds of stuff. Really, it's just sprite rigging, you know? They're not really doing anything fancy. In fact, the character, I'm watching the dragon creature that I'm fighting right now in this video. He's not even animating. He's just stretching up and down like a...
Yeah, they're stretching and squashing the character. Yeah, this is a built-in...
Just like morphing it, yeah. Which I don't love that because it feels kind of paper, like everything's made out of paper.
Right.
And actually, you want to make a cool game with a cool visual aesthetic, make one look like Little Big Planet style, like paper or Yoshi's Twisted Tail or whatever the hell that thing's called, where everything looks like it's made out of cardboard and crepe paper and stuff. Yeah. That would be cool. Yeah. Like I'm not complaining about that thing. I'm just saying, well, all right, this is supposed to be this super powerful fire mage versus a horrible underground demon. And they're just very basic. You know, again, it's a nice, they have gone a step further than Slay the Spire. Absolutely. But none of these games seem to have a really great artist on staff or animator, I should say. And this gets a little closer. Anyway, that's nitpicking. Gameplay's where it's at.
No.
Card play where it's at. So check it out. See what you think. You know, I'll tell you what, if Blizzard and there's reason to believe that their new expansion coming out for Hearthstone in a couple of weeks. By most accounts of those who have played it, their new single player stuff is basically Slay the Spire with Hearthstone cards. That's very interesting to me. Like, I will probably crack open Hearthstone again and play it. But if it's just another kind of empty single player mode without much in the way of rewards or purpose, or compelling gameplay, and then its job is just to keep me there to play the regular game of Hearthstone, I'll probably back out again because I don't care about Hearthstone It's not interesting to me. It's not fun to me. And none of the games like it are fun to me. This is not a knock against Hearthstone. It's a knock against genres I don't like. But this genre, I like. Okay? Deck of Ashes. Badass. You should check it out. Slay the Spire already released and out there. And again, on mobile, the one I think the one to play right now, it's the one I'm enjoying the most, is this Pirates Outlaws. It's really good. All right, Brian.
Scott.
Tell me about Niche.
It's Niche. Oh, niche. I always niche, say niche. Whatever you want to say, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I picked this up on the tip, a hot tip from my son, Drew. He said, Dad, I said, what? He said, on the Humble Bundle, Strategy Bundle has a really cool game. And I usually go full in whenever I do the Humble Bundles. I always go the $15 route. But he said, nah. He said, just spend $1 and get Niche. It was the only thing that was worth really having. He said, in that bundle, he said, I was kind of shocked. He said, he played tons of it. He came over, he showed me how to play it. I'm enjoying it. You were talking about action points. This game is all about the action points. You are creating or evolving either feline or canine animals. I think both. It's kind of like this weird mix. But what you're doing is you're starting from one animal and then meeting other animals as you're traveling through these islands that are usually full of trees and other obstacles, and you try to run across other animals that you can mate with. And when you mate, you take a look at the statistics on each of the characters, and there's like this DNA strip of genetics that kind of intertwines, and you can look at the two characters and kind of predict or guess what's going to come out. And of course, certain traits are going to be more favorable to survival, because this is a survival game at his heart. So I don't know if it is a survival game, but I didn't really notice the survival part as much as you probably would. Cause I know you don't like Don't Starve and that kind of stuff. Cause you don't like surviving. It bothers you. Doesn't bother me.
It doesn't bother me. It just, whatever. There's implementations of that. I like this Don't Starve. I wish I liked more. I don't like that game. I wish I did.
Right. Right. So I think you might like this. Like I said, you have your character, and the character only lives. They only live for about 20 days. So you have 20 days worth of moves. Usually, I think the action points start, I think at like one, but then they like the very next round, you get like three action points. And that can also be, I think it can be modified if you get the right genetics, because you can move further. So really, there's three action points per character that you have, and you're generating and creating a pack of animals as you go along.
Is it Pokemon like? You got to manage your animals like a bunch of Pokemon?
Yeah, somewhat. Somewhat. You got to do them like a bunch of Pokemon. They kind of look like Pokemon. I didn't think about that, but you're right. They kind of look, they're pokeyish. They're pokies.
Yeah.
But you're making them do the thing. You have to find this seems to always be the case, but the female character that you mate with the male character, they have to make a nesting area, and they have to sit there, and they have little babies, and every time something comes out, it's a little bit different, and it comes up with its own pre-generated name, and each of the islands that you go to, by the way, also procedurally generated.
Yeah.
So you never really land in the same place. Some of the things I found interesting about the gameplay, when you get on an island, there's usually there's ways to leave the island to go to more islands. And if you go left, right, you'll go to an island that is similar difficulty, meaning that it's got the same amount of resources or similar resources. If you go north, because the primary goal here from the start is the first animal that you had is kidnapped by a bird and is flown way, way down past a bunch of islands and is dropped off. And you're trying to get your pack back to the homeland, which is north. So you go north. Always travel north, Scott.
Always.
And Niche.
Yeah.
Always travel north.
Okay.
Can't travel back down south. It doesn't get easier. I thought that. I was like, hey, but can I go back down south? Easier?
Are there weather changes? I noticed there's a day-night cycle, but no weather changes?
Yes. There's no weather changes that I know of. Usually the environmental problems you have to worry about is getting too close to. If you get too close to a shoreline, your creatures sometimes pick up leeches. And then you have to have one of your other animals in the pack come along and get the leech off, and then if they have a healing power, they can also lick your other animal and heal them a little bit. Because if they don't, their lifespan will be shortened. there are genetic things that are beneficial, like if you have the Jimmy legs, if you pick the Jimmy legs, you can go further.
I get that all the time. I get Jimmy legs every night.
I don't think it's called Jimmy legs, but you can choose longer back legs and you can travel further. Mm-hmm. And there's stuff like you'll come across other characters who are like have ugly snout, and an ugly snout is not as good for smelling, but you're not as likely to be attacked by other animals because you're ugly. Who wants to eat ugly, ugly prey? Nobody. Nah, nobody.
Ain't nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do that. So you can make some choices when you're doing this, because you can do like, I think there's two genetic modifiers you can apply to a creature that you control, and that will apply to the next role, the next character that they mate with. It will hopefully prefer that genetic mutation. So it's really deep, interesting game that gets very addicting very quickly. And I've played tons of it.
Do you feel like it's let's say I like how do I put this, city builders or like that sort of thing where it's like, I'm gonna expand my city or whatever. Does this give you that same kind of vibe of you're managing a thing and it's growing and you're gonna take a turn now and do kind of civilization style stuff? Is that what I'm looking at?
It's probably not. It's probably the thing that you probably hate about survivals is always trying to make sure that you have the food, because each night cycle, after each character uses up his action points, you can choose for a night cycle. The night cycle will come over and it'll replenish everybody's action points. During that time, one day is knocked off your animal's lives. Where was I going with that? I don't know.
Anyway, I did the video I'm watching. The guy just went extinct. He died.
Oh yeah, and you eat food. So every night it consumes a certain amount of food. Like each animal consumes one food or something, I believe it is. And so the larger your pack is, the more food you got to carry for them. So I always end up staying somewhere between 4 and 6 characters, because you don't want to inbreed your characters, because what will happen is they'll become prone to getting sick. And so you have to keep like a pack that's kind of a certain size with it. And because if you get too big, you'll fail. If you get too small, you'll inbreed. You don't want that. and then you'll fail again.
Somebody clip that and I can make a GIF out of it that we were just doing. That was awesome. All right. But I'll check it out.
Niche. It's a lot of fun. You can get it on the PC, the Mac, Linux. It was on the, I think the strategy bundle is over on the Humble Bundle now, but it's well worth, I think it's usually like $10 mm-hmm. on Steam. Mm-hmm. It's well worth that. I've definitely gotten $10 worth of fun. Ooh, I lied. It's $17.99.
Oh, that's
so I got a real good deal. Suck it.
Yeah.
$1.
Take that, everybody.
This came out in 2016, and the developer was Stray Fawn Studio, mm-hmm. and I don't know what else they've done, but, they got a space drone constructor. Ooh, might be seeing Scott play that sometimes in the future. Mm. Nimbatus, the space drone constructor. What is it? Ooh, this looks fun.
I would play constructor. Sure, why not?
That looks cool.
Yeah. I'm not interested in something like that. What's that rocket launching thing where you're a bunch of gerbils or whatever? What's it called?
Kerbal Space Program.
Not gerbils. Yeah. Kerbals.
Gerbils. Kerbals.
But to you, I like those in concept. I think I'm to the point in my gaming life where I'm like, I don't want to sit here and do this. Like, I don't want to sit here and go.
I've got things to do.
Yeah, I got things I got to get done.
Right.
And one of them can't be trying 50 times over to figure out why my fuselage is making my rocket fly sideways. Like, that's for NASA engineers, not for guys like me. Oh, good. Somebody captured us making our weird hand gestures, which is just
Eureka Geek in the chat room says, what's with the fingerless gloves, which people have noticed? These are my arthritic gloves because I've got arthritis.
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's not... Let's dispel some myths. Arthritis, everyone thinks it's like some old person thing. It's not.
I was 28.
Yep. If you have genetic arthritic joints, you can have it as young as your early 20s. 28 mm-hmm. is very young still to be getting it. And it's kind of like me when I had cataracts. I got them in my early 40s, and you're not supposed to get those till you're like 80. And yeah, I have a genetic thing. So did you for that. So, hey, we all learned something today. Sometimes you get weird stuff.
I went to, whenever I go to my arthritis doctor, I will occasionally run into a couple of kids. It happens. Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. And if you've watched the Netflix, the Motley Crue thing.
Yeah. Oh, hey, I haven't watched that yet.
You haven't watched that yet?
No.
Oh, it's terrible. You should totally watch it.
I'm afraid to watch it because I'll bet it's really bad.
Right, right. Yes, and mine is the psoriatic arthritis type, unrelated things. It is a secondary symptom of psoriasis. For
me. It's a thing, man. Learn as you go. And here's the benefit. They actually kind of look cool, so you don't look like a weirdo. They look cool, and you look like you're just trying to stay
very
warm.
Comfortable.
Yeah.
They're very comfortable. And, you know, if I was playing niche right now, I would definitely choose not arthritis. No, take that out of the genetics pool. No.
Yeah.
No.
And when I got those cataracts, they took out my crap lenses and put in robot ones. Ah. I have silicone titanium lenses in my eyes that make it so I have 20/20 vision where I want it right here. Ooh. And I've never had that in my entire life. I'm stronger, better than I was before.
Ooh, you're like, I was going to say Lee Majors, but that was his name for Fall Guy, right?
No, his real name, the actor's name is Lee Majors, yeah. So it was, I don't know what his Fall Guy's name was. Was it like Guy Faller?
it was like Lee Falls or something. It was something.
Actually, hold on. Side note, for gamers at home that get eye strain, that's when I had to start wearing these. These are tinted. These aren't branded because it turns out it's a big trick when they sell you $100 glasses with tints on them. Big ripoff.
Yeah.
Go to Zenni.com. Get a pair of just whatever pair you like. Non-prescription. Get an 80% yellow tint. Exact same functionality as a pair of $150 tint lenses.
Do not be fooled. Darth Marquardt. I like calling him Marquardt. Darth Marquardt. I love Darth Marquardt. Anyway, he says Mick Mars. From Motley Crue has degenerative arthritis in his back, I think, primarily in his hips.
Oh, that's no good. You got to be up there smoking in the boys' room, trying to move the way you need to. That's not good. But anyway, the point is, with these off, I have perfect vision here to the screen now. But because I have these new lenses and they're so clear after that surgery, screens are much brighter to me than they used to be, which is why I bought these. So they just keep me from getting any kind of, headaches from that or whatever. All right, enough old man talk. Let's move on.
That's not old man talk. That's health problems. Who doesn't have a good health problem?
Everyone everywhere does. All right, I'm going to talk to you about my new health problem, which is playing too much Elder Scrolls Online.
Elder Scrolls.
This isn't an old game, or it's not a new game by any stretch. It's a few years old. And I remember back in the beta days when I played it, it was real rough, had a very rough launch, had some real problems with it. The game went through all kinds of herky-malurky and is now in what I think the best it's ever been. And I actually think probably one of, and arguably, I don't know, you could argue it's the best MMO on the market. Now, I think I would put this up there with WoW. Those are kind of my two go-tos.
Right.
World of Warcraft and this.
That's a safe bet. Yeah.
But I think it's more like I like the relationship between the two. When I need a break from WoW or things are getting kind of grindy over there, or there's nothing new to do, this is a great place for me to go. And when I'm tired of that and go back to WoW, it's like a nice little combination. And the other nice thing is this game is 100% free to play, but you buy the game. So you buy, I think it's $29 right now. Actually, it's on sale right now, but the version we're looking at on the stream is actually from the PS4. I'm playing on PC, so ignore that. This is just the video I found. The PC version is what I'm playing. And some years ago or a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, whatever it was, they added to the game, they call it One Tamriel Update. And what it did is it made it so the whole world scales with you. So it doesn't matter where you go, what you're doing. You could be in a whole zone and go, man, I am sick of this freaking place. I'm going to go north to the desert and just see what's there. You can do that. And it doesn't matter whether you're level 2 or level 38 or whatever. The world will scale with you. The gear that you can get and the rewards you get will scale with you. Basically makes it so the entire world is playable. You would just need to travel around and get to places. And I really like that. Some people don't like that, but I love that. That's how I I prefer that sort of thing, and I wish WoW did it throughout its entire world. I think that would be amazing if they did. Another game that does that is Guild Wars 2, so they're not the only ones on the market that do it. But anyway, Guild Wars 2 also pretty good. I'd put that in my top five MMOs.
I always meant to get it, and I never did. And it was the one of the things I loved about it was the fact that it was not trying to charge me a monthly rate at the time. They were just like, play this game.
You know what? Same model. So those guys use the same model these guys did. ESO launched as a subscription only at first. But nobody really lasts too long doing that, so they eventually changed to a buy the game. And then if you want to buy some cool stuff from the store, like cosmetics or a new mount or something like that, you can do that, and that's how they make their money. I have it on a very reliable source, that is to say somebody who works there, that they are killing it right now and doing really well, which is good because, as it turns out, ESO is really good. In fact, I'm going to say something blasphemous. I am a longtime fan of the Elder Scrolls series. I've played them all. Well, I played everything from Daggerfall forward, which would I think that's two. I don't know what it was. Before Morrowind. Whichever the one before Morrowind was, I played that. Played Morrowind. Played Oblivion. Played Skyrim to death multiple times. And now this. And as we wait for six, whatever six will be, I have been a fan for a very long time.
What's it called? The El Sawyer?
Oh, they have a name? I haven't heard that.
El Sawyer? Oh, yeah.
No. That's the expansion for this thing coming out.
Yeah,
an ESO expansion, which is coming soon, and that will introduce a Necromancer class, which is super exciting to me. So anyway, it is. It's funny. Now this is the part I'm going to say that's a little bit sacrosanct. I'm going to say a thing that's going to piss some people off. That's fine.
Don't do it.
I did an experiment where, let me back up and tell you why I'm even playing it again. I got a hankering for it again because I finally got Blades to download on my phone, which is the new Elder Scroll Blades game, the mobile game that they announced last E3, and then it got delayed, and now it finally came out. I won't even get into the part where I was pissed that it came down and then said, hey, wait a little longer, we'll let you know when it's ready. Like, it was funky last week. But then it finally did, and I got a chance to play with it, and I was actually pretty excited about it. And it turns out it's kind of clunky. I don't think it looks great. And there's timed chests and microtransactions and all the BS we were afraid it was going to have that they said on stage they were going to avoid all that. But now it seems like maybe they didn't avoid it. So I was annoyed, okay? So I said, I said, I need some good Elder Scrolls content. Where am I going to get that right now? Oh, there's a new expansion coming out for ESO. Let's get in there. So I decided to hop in there. And I've been in there ever since all week, and I haven't been able to stop playing it. I love it. I've always loved it, but I really like it right now.
And this is the mobile thing you're talking about?
No, talking about the PC game. Talking about ESO.
Okay, so the Blades disappointed you, so you ran back to the
Blades, very disappointing, ran back to this. So that gives you a little background on that. Then I decided to do an experiment. Playing Elder Scrolls Online, let's go open Skyrim, the most recent of Elder Scrolls mainline games. Let's go into one of those and just remind myself, because our brain has a funny way of messing with us. It wants to tell us that one thing was better than another thing, and we don't really know because we're not doing real-time comparisons. So we think fondly of like an old game, and then we pick it up and go, whatever game it is not as great as we remember it. And I was worried I was having some of that with this. So I fired up Skyrim, and I played a bit of it. This also on the PC, mouse and keyboard, also playing ESO, mouse and keyboard on the PC. And I think Elder Scrolls Online is the better Elder Scrolls game right now. Even if you strip away all the multiplayer aspects of an MMO. Right now I'm just playing solo anyway. I'm in a guild, but I haven't really done much with a guild yet. But strip away all that stuff, which exists in the game for sure. There's battlegrounds and all that fun stuff. But if you strip all that away, it's just tons of quests and voiceover and story and places to visit and stuff to discover and dungeons to clear out and all the things like about Elder Scrolls games.
You're getting me excited about Elder Scrolls again. I haven't played it in so long. And I'm a big Bethesda fan. I love those guys anyway. But you're making me sick.
Well, they're having a rough year. They, Soldier 76. Oh my gosh, I can't say words.
Fallout
76 was not the biggest hit in the world, and it's still kind of sucking for a lot of people. Not everybody. Some people love it. That's not what I'm saying.
So if I get back into Elder Scrolls Online,
Yeah.
Which I never got. I never got too deep anyway.
Yeah.
Am I gonna guild up with you?
Yeah. Get in
there. Are you gonna abandon me and be like, I'm playing War of Warcraft again, Brian?
Well, here's the other thing. It's one big world server. So you just get in, and we're in the same world. There's no what realm are you on or any of that crap, except for if you're EU versus US, or I think the console versions are also separated. But
right.
The Mac PC people are all in the same world.
Yeah, I'm going to go region. Mac PC. With Elder Scrolls, I'm definitely going to go that route.
Yeah, but even if you don't have all the expansion content, you could get in now, and you and I could play 100%. And if we played together, and you're way low, and I'm like, I think my Dragon Knight I'm working on right now is like level 27 or something, you could start at a level 1, and I could still team up with you, and we could still quest, and it scales.
I'm trying to remember which ones I have, but I can on Steam, I can get the standard edition for $9.99, which is on sale right now until April the 8th. Got a little bit longer. Or I can pre-purchase the new expansion and pick up almost all of them, it looks like. I'm trying to see. It's got some chapters, missing some.
Well, there's DLC, and then there's expansions.
Right.
The expansions are single, you know, that's how you get the new content, the new land masses, all of that. Just like you do with, what's it like?
I'm going to need some hand-holding in the chat room. What do I need to get?
Well, look, here's what you need to get. Get that $10 one to see how you feel about everything. Because if you're going to go deeper, it's just easy to add it on. It's no big deal.
Yeah, you're right.
You do it right in the game, for heaven's sakes. But I'm having... So anyway, this is what I learned from that comparison. Skyrim, it's old now, so I'm not saying this is something they can't... make better in 6. Hopefully they will. But Skyrim, in a lot of ways, doesn't hold up as well as we all think it does. It's kludgy. The combat sucks. It feels really janky in a lot of ways. There's still game-destroying bugs in it all these years later, despite millions of patches, including third-party fan patches. You can mod it to death and do all kinds of cool stuff. That's one nice feature of Skyrim, of course, is all the modding. But at the end of the day, there's some things in it that are just they're like, oh my gosh, really? This takes what? How long to do that? Now, like it's just not as clean and perfect as we all remember. It's an amazing game, don't get me wrong. One of the greatest of all time. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is if you want to play the I think the best overall Elder Scrolls experience available right now in 2019, I think it's the MMO. And that's controversial. I know that. That's okay. And people can tell me why I'm wrong. It's fine. I don't mind.
Oh, you're so wrong.
But that's it immediately made me want to get out and go back to playing ESO because it feels funky in the old engine. It just feels funky. And this feels alive and updated, and they're always working on it, and they improve it all the time. And if you want to have a first-person sword swinging, same experience as you had in Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, you can. It's there. It's all there. But you can also zoom out, a little third-person view. You can, all that stuff. And if all you cared about was finding new places, experiencing new content, and doing quests, and talking to NPCs, and having them run around with you and accomplish goals, that's all in there. And everything's voiced. That's why that game, that client's like almost 100 gig or something. But there's all this client voice, VO for everything you do. Every character you talk to, there's VO. There's no text.
Right.
I mean, there's text there if you want, but they'll talk to you. Still can skip it if you want to, but the mounts are really cool. The feeling I get in there is so Skyrim and so Elder Scrolls. A lot of Morrowind vibe because I'm in kind of that area right now, talking to Vivek and all those people. And it's just something about that world that really sucks me in. The music is just spot on. Like, it's totally my jam. And I really like it. So this is me selling you guys a bill of goods. I think that if you've already got it in your libraries and you just never really gave it a full swing, go check it out. If not, it's $10 right now. It's stupid cheap to get into the basic game. And like I said, you can play anywhere, anytime, because the one Tamriel thing means the whole world scales with you. You're not going to walk into an area where it's like, oh, everything's 50 levels higher than me, I'm going to die immediately. It doesn't happen. Doesn't exist in this game. You just have this sort of purity of go where you want, when you want. The fights are challenging, the enemies are challenging, you still need to be smart about what you're doing. There's plenty of multiplayer content if you so desire, but there is a mountain of single player focused stuff in here, and I like it a lot.
Well, I am about to click buy right now.
Get it, and we'll play. I'm serious.
Doing it. Add to cart. Done. Yep.
We're playing. We're playing. Let's play.
Steam right now.
Yeah.
Sales tax will be calculated. What sales tax? I'm out. Remove.
Yeah, I'm watching this person play on a controller or play. Oh, that's the other thing is you're going to want to change. Well, whatever. I'm talking to this guy as if I can, he's listening, but the guy who made this video is dumb. Anyway.
You're not good, buddy.
Anyway, I like it a lot. And so some people can go.
I'm down with that.
People can go, hey, Skyrim's more than 8 years ago. It was 10 years ago. Came out in 2011.
Wow, is it that old? I recently went back to Skyrim, and I thought I just kind of peeked in. I'm like, did I do something wrong? Because the graphics don't look as good as I remember.
Well,
and they don't. I didn't play very long.
If you play there's the enhanced edition
right
version of Skyrim, which looks a lot better, still not. It's fine. Okay. I'm not saying it's bad, but it's not modern day good. And I'm as excited as the next 50 guys about Elder Scrolls 6 would be. I don't know. Nobody knows because there's nothing to show yet, but I'm really excited about the future of it. I'm a little worried because Bethesda lately has been a little bit weird with their mainline stuff. And, you know, they turned Fallout into a weird multiplayer base building thing. I'm not sure that's what I want out of the future of their games. I would really rather for 6 be I want it to be a robust, single player focused, huge world RPG like we're used to getting from those games. And right. We don't know until that comes out. And that's exciting and that's all great. I'm just saying, wait, 2019, 2011. That's not 8 years. That's 9 years.
Well, it's right? According to what part of the year you're in.
Well, all right. In November, it'll be 9 years. Right? It may as well be nine years.
When did it launch?
It may as well be. Yeah. Plus, they've got that science fiction game they teased. I don't remember Textfire what it's called. It's, I forgot. Spaceman or something. Whatever it is.
Spaceman. Elder Scrolls Online now in my Steam library. So it will not download now because that would
Starfield.
Wreck my bandwidth.
Starfield, that's the name.
Starfield.
Yeah, don't download it now, but we should play. And you should get in there and make character you want.
Starfield hates Mondays but loves lasagna.
Of course they do. Of course. Are you kidding me? All right. That's all I'm going to say there. I know it's a hard sell for some people that are just like, it should never have been an MMO. Pull your head out of it a little bit and look at it with a broader, I don't mean that in a rude way. Just broaden your perspective on it. Pull the camera out a little bit and go, what do we actually have here? And what you have here is a huge piece of content that you don't have to pay a dime for on a monthly basis if you don't want to. There are right. advantages to doing their Plus membership, like you get all the DLC just immediately. You get some those crown things every month for free, so you can just buy stuff without ever spending real money on it. So basically, it just becomes like playing WoW or whatever, where you have just full access to way more of everything. But the game itself, is there for nothing a month, like Guild Wars.
Nothing a month.
You buy the game, and you get, if you want the expansion, great. If you don't get it, but you play the game. And there's no $15 ticking away in your head going, oh, I got to play all the time, or else I'm not getting my $15 worth. That doesn't exist in this game. I like how they do it. So there you go. All right. Brian, whoop, where'd he go? He took off.
I'm here. Oh. I was just leaning over to grab something. I was trying to get my head out of my ass as you asked me to nicely.
Yeah, you did a good job.
And
that was just poor timing on my part. Hey, tell me about Buzz Lightyear of Star Command. Holy, holy throwback. What is this?
Buzz Lightyear of Star Command.
PlayStation.
This is the PS1 version. I best remember the one on the Dreamcast, but Buzz Lightyear of Star Command was this 2D animation movie that turned into a TV series based off the Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story. I got a hankering for a hunk of cheese when I had my PlayStation Classic, and I kind of went through the games and I was like, you know what I really miss? I miss some of those 2000 era games that were, you know, more like Disney properties and that kind of stuff. And so I picked one up. I was like, I was kind of pleasantly surprised that this was only $9.99.
Hold on. Before you say anything, can I yell at the chat room? I just realized something.
Yeah, do it.
It's 11 years since Skyrim. Skyrim was 20. Oh, you know what? I keep thinking it was 2008, not 2011. Never mind. Never mind. Sorry. Buzz Lightyear, you went and bought it. You got it for cheap. Here he is, saving the world.
I got it for cheap off Amazon. And don't you remember these PlayStation games or it had the black CDs? Oh, I actually had some like the had the where you write to. I always thought that was cool. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, I picked this up off of that. And you say, Brian, you can't put disc. You can't put a disc into your PlayStation Classic. You're right, I can't. But I can take this game and somewhat legally rip it off ImageBurn into a BenQ file. Yeah. Or at least, I feel totally legal.
What you're talking about is totally legal. You're fine.
Right.
You're fine.
So I did that. I created a BenQ file, and then I said, I can't wait to play this on my PlayStation Classic. Fast forward 2 days later, why can't I play Buzz Lightyear on my PlayStation Classic? I'm trying to do everything you're telling me to do, you stupid people.
Did you not hack it properly or something? You didn't hack it?
Well, the problem is that we are in a transition stage apparently that I was not familiar with. So all the articles I was reading how to do this using Bleem Sync was to all the directions from December of 2018 were totally wrong. I mean, not even close. They've totally revamped everything. And then I went to the Bleem Sync GitHub page and I tried to read their instructions there, and I'm like, what are you talking about? This is not even close to the things that I was trying to do. So they've totally changed up something. And I spent a couple of days trying to figure that crap out and getting totally frustrated. So angry. And finally, I actually ran across a good thread on Reddit. And they were saying, oh, yeah, I use Auto Bleem. And that was way easier. Oh, my God. I was playing within 5 minutes. Wow. I was just like, yeah. So it's super easy. You don't really have to mod anything. You just go to GitHub, get your clone on, and you put it on your USB drive. You stick it into port 2 after you name the USB disk Sony, and you stick it in there, and you put your little BenQ files in there, and bibbity babbity boop, you're playing Buzz Lightyear, and you realize you've wasted 3 days. This game sucks.
I was gonna say how much work did it take for you to play this horrible old game? Is it a good game? I mean, I remember people being kind of fond of it at the time.
Right. Oh, yeah. It was
for a licensed game. For a licensed game, it wasn't the worst thing you could spend your money on. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It's very, very iffy on the polygon count. I mean, everything looks jagged, and it's hard to really tell what you're looking at sometimes. And it's a totally different experience. It's 4:3 aspect ratio, even on my widescreen. But I did find a little bit of joy. But the joy that I was having was being frustrated because I was using the PlayStation Classic controllers, which was PS1. You didn't have analog sticks. You just got got your little thumb buttons. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're kind of going back and forth, and it's hard to steer a first person kind of game. It's really more like a third person, but it's the same idea, and it's really kind of hard to steer them because when you're trying to aim at something, you're facing them. But so then you go, okay, I need to go to the right just a little bit to shoot this guy. And you just go, vroom. And next suddenly you're 90 degrees off. And like, what happened? Mm-hmm. Boom. Try to come back. And it's really hard to get what you need. And oh, my God. back in 2000, they must have thought it was the best thing ever to have loading screens. Because, oh, my God, there's so many loading screens.
Yeah.
And it's this weird mix of cut scenes with scenes from, like, QuickTime movies from the Toy Story series, which had, looks totally different than the 2D animation from Buzz Lightyear of Star Command series. And then they got some computer generated animated scenes. So it's just all over the place. But for some reason, I still had fun. It's mostly nostalgia, I think.
Yeah, that's okay, though. Yeah. I mean, look, we were talking about whether or not you could successfully have any fun anymore in an old PS1 game. And you had a little fun.
I had just about as much fun as you would think. However, I was like, that sure was a lot of trouble. Mm. And so I said, let me see what I can do with my RetroPie. And that was just, because I already had the BenQ files anyway.
Yep.
And it was so simple, and it run way better.
Yeah.
On my Raspberry.
Yeah.
On my Raspberry Pi. I also for funsies, I threw it on my 2011 Mac. Just iMac, just to see what it would do, and the Emu emulator worked great.
So this is amazing to think about the actual PlayStation hardware.
yeah.
for its retro games
equivalents
is poopy at playing the retro games.
Right. And that's one of the things that people were having a problem with this PlayStation console, because they were asking $99 originally, which was even higher than the Nintendo version, but the quality was not comparable. And so they've dropped it down to about $40, and that's about how much it's worth, because it probably performs close to a Raspberry Pi, which is how much you can get a Raspberry Pi for.
There you go. Yeah. Well, rush right out and get yourself a copy of Buzz Lightyear's of Star Command.
Yeah, but if you do this, like I said, don't mess with Bleem Sync right now. I'm not saying it won't be the winner in the long run. Go for the Auto Bleem. It is so much easier. So much easier.
Get your Auto Bleem on, son.
Auto Bleem.
Okay, quick note. I'm not going to talk much about it because I haven't hardly cracked it, but I picked up Tropico 6. I just haven't had time for it yet. So next week, I hope to talk a little bit about my impressions of Tropico 6. I like that city building series, and I suspect I will like this one as well. So there's that. Although the word is, the word on the street is that it's a perfectly good entry and a beautiful one at that of the Tropico games. The downside from what I hear is that it doesn't do anything super new. I think I'm okay with that though, because what I want is good old fashioned Tropico. And I think I have a good chance of getting that. So we'll
see.
I like
the Tropico series.
But I did get it. I just have time to mess with it. Oh, and we got that bundle we talked about, the Fanatical bundle. You and I both picked that up. I played everything in there.
$5 or something?
Yeah, it was $5. And I played almost everything in there. What I'm going to do is narrow down maybe a couple of them that I really want to focus on. And then I'll work with you to make that so that each of us are trying different things. And then we should come back next week and say which ones we liked out of that bundle. Because it's easy to get lost in there. There's so many little weird games in it.
Fanatical has been doing really well lately. Sometimes they'll have dry runs where there's not a lot of good indie games that they're putting out there. Sometimes you only have one game in a bundle that's worth anything. But these last couple of weeks, they've really been kicking it strong.
Yeah,
that's a really good bundle.
All right, let's move on to a little game we call Guess My Game. Oh, wait, that's not
Guess it.
Oh, yeah, it is.
It's a me, Mario!
All right, it's where we guess each other's game based on a simple audio file that each of us have dug up since the last we spoke. I'll begin, as is the tradition here. I'm going to play you a snippet, and you see if you can tell me what it is. And I'll just give you a hint, Brian. You have been talking about the platform it was most famously on a lot lately. Let's just say that, okay? That may be a hint or it may not be, but here you go.
Sounds like a Commodore 64 chip of some sort.
Ooh, you're right about platform. Well done. Can you get closer to the bone on the game? Whoops. Let me try it again.
It definitely sounds like some kind of collecting game, like you're collecting something.
Let's just say this game came out, as a answer to or a competition with the original Donkey Kong. I think they were trying to capture some of that, but it was just for these PC folks. People at home on their computers, not console gamers. And it was a
I know what you're talking about, and I cannot think of the game.
It's tricky, right? Anyone in the chat? Let's see if they've got it.
What is it?
No one in the chat.
I can see the graphics.
Nobody in the chat seems to know. The game is Hard Hat Mac. Do you remember that?
I don't even recall it being called that. I thought it was Hard Hat Henry.
That's the thing. Mac. Let me see if I can
Hard. That's probably right. Yeah, let's see.
There it is. Apple II had it. They had it on the Commodore 64. They had it on maybe a Tandy version of it. It was very popular in that kind of era of stuff, the Atari computers and all that. Chat room, you can see video here now. I'm showing you what you were hearing before is literally this mat or this level. This might actually be the Apple version. It is. The Commodore version had more animation.
Ah, there it is. Yes, I recognize this. I think I never had this on the Commodore 64, but I used to play it on the Apple in the computer lab at school.
Yeah, that's what I played. I had it on an Apple IIe, which is what we had at the house. Primarily what you had to do on each level, and they had a lot of different level types, which I thought that was pretty cool. You had some dude that was after you all the time, some kind of zombie man, or I don't know what he was, some kind of creature. And your goal was to go seal up, grab all these like steel beams, stick them into the ground, and then rivet them in before he ever caught you. Some levels had elevators and other things you had to do. You had to avoid certain, certain things crushing you and stuff like that. But it was very much like
Yeah.
Donkey Kong.
That's yeah. And I think how they got away with it was to make him like a riveter. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's why he's riveting these, you know, these beams together. Mm-hmm. They're not like Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Except it is.
And I play, it totally is. And I played the hell out of this when I was on that. I mean, I was probably 11. I was just a kid, but I remember thinking this was the greatest video game invention of all time at the time. I thought it was
Man, you kids. We used to call it the computer lab.
That's right. You don't even know what you got now. You with your whatnot. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. Let's see if we can figure it out. You ready?
Let's do it.
I have no idea what this is. C64 also?
No, this is older than the 664.
All right.
It's not much older.
That sounds very Atari to me. Is it Atari?
It is absolutely Atari. That noise. Yeah. That gives it away for sure.
All right.
Also, this is based on a cartoon property.
Wait, is that why the song's familiar?
This on your, what's that?
That's why the song's familiar?
Actually, the opening song was spot on. But I cut it because I didn't want you to guess it too quickly because it would have been just a dead giveaway. But it was based on a Saturday morning cartoon. It kind of had like a pitfall kind of vibe to it. And this was recommended to me by some of the people in my in the Discord. They said you ought to do this Midwest Mint.
Yeah.
And was it in Taz the Man? Those guys were talking about it, and I was like, "Yeah, I'll throw that towards Scott and see what he thinks." So, little blue people on Atari.
One of them had no pants.
One of them had no pants.
The Smurfs. Smurfs.
The Smurfs.
Oh my Smurf. Lord!
It's funny. Smurfette had the top, but no bottoms.
Yeah,
that's right. She was free down there. What a hippie.
Was this a ColecoVision game or an Atari? Maybe it was both.
No, this is Atari Smurf Rescue Smurf. In Gargamel's Castle. I don't know why we needed the rescue in Gargamel's Castle, but this French cartoon, Come America.
Oh, apparently they have a version on, they did make a Coleco version of it, but it's like the same. Oh, yeah. Wow. Look at this. It's actually kind of cool animated.
It's neat looking, and I actually played this for old school back in the day when we were doing the final score at one point in time.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah,
long time ago.
What are these scores on the ground for? Are the 200? That's weird. Not sure what he's doing. Just walking to the side.
That's Azrael. Azrael.
Azrael. That's was he a dude?
No, his name of the cat.
Oh, the cat. Right. Who was the shithead guy in charge? Who was like the
Papa Smurf?
No. No, like the bad guy.
Brainy Smurf, who was always second in charge. Is that what you're talking about?
No. Gargamel.
Gargamel. Bad guy. It's Gargamel's castle, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Gargamel created Smurfette to tempt the Smurfs so he could make them in his pie.
Hold on a minute. Tempt them with what?
Tempt them with her sexual wiles, mm-hmm. because there were no lady Smurfs until Gargamel formulated Smurfette.
Ugh, really? Is that really how that went?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, one Smurfette lady for all 50 of those little horn doggers?
That's right, but only Brainy Smurf wasn't getting any. I think Hefty Smurf was the man of action.
Hefty Smurf.
Hefty Smurf.
All right, I'm going to look at this. So the chat room says the Atari version looks totally different than this one I'm showing. So I'm gonna look at it real quick.
Interesting. Maybe I grabbed the wrong video.
Here it is.
Oh, no, that's a different
one.
No,
it just looks so much worse.
My audio was from the Atari one.
Yeah, no, they are right. It's Atari. Oh, poor Atari, dude. They try so hard.
It didn't look even close.
Yeah, it's not even close. That ColecoVision one made this look like somebody's butthole fell apart. This is really much better.
Butthole fell apart.
Or much worse. Okay. Good comparison. Anyway, boy, I forgot how cool the Coleco was for its time. That thing was rad.
Yeah, I got a Coleco in the house right now I need to bring out. I don't know what I'd hook it up to, but I've got it.
These jumps don't look right. He's too floaty. Something's wrong with the jump. Look at that. That's just wrong. Well, all right. This has been a good walk through memory lane, as it always is. Well done, everybody. We're going to get to an email and a phone call today. And the email came to us at boopshow@gmail.com. The phone call came to us at 801-471-0462. And I have one to play here today that is just really weird, and I can't wait to get to it. But before that, the emails. Feltel50 wrote in. Says, hi, guys. Love the show. Do you guys think we are at peak indie games, or is it going to grow or maybe decline? Curious what you think. Thanks, Feltel50. Well, Feltel50. I mean, it's easy to look at the dearth of indie product right now and go, man, it's never going to get better than this, but I'll bet it just keeps being cool. I'll bet the indie market just keeps getting radder and radder and cooler and cooler. The more platforms become available, the simpler they are to develop for. I don't foresee any slowdown.
Right. As long as there's marketplaces for these things, like Steam is just, you know, huge for the indie game market. And as long as they're on top, I don't see why anything would change there. I personally, you know, there'll be a little ebb and flow. I do think right now is almost a golden age of indie games. It's pretty close, if not.
Dear. Agreed. I think we are definitely having a moment, but I don't think there's any reason to think it'll decline. I think it will probably only grow. And you know, mainstream platforms that usually avoided this kind of stuff or didn't have the same openness to them the PC does, you're starting to see that change. Like Nintendo is nuts about indies on their platform. Like just about every cool indie you can get on Steam is also coming out on Switch or is on Switch. So I think that that's a good sign. I think whatever next generation we see from Sony and Microsoft, be it cloud or otherwise, will have a big focus on indie games. And you can bet that Google Stadia stuff will have plenty of indie content on it. I guarantee it.
I guarantee it.
Or for that matter, that Apple game subscription thing for a bunch of games we don't even know what they are yet. Those are going to be lots of indie titles. So keep your eyes open, son. Another email. Andrew Bailey wrote in, says, this would make a good Boop Show discussion. It's about the guy that got 20 years for swatting that other guy, and the cop shot the dude and killed him. Swatting is the most hideous freaking thing ever anywhere of all time, and I hate it. And I think I feel like saying a little bit of good riddance to this dude. Look, I'm not one to pile on to people that have been condemned by the legal system for whatever heinous thing they did, but I in particular think swatting is really, really just...
Well, yeah, it's one thing is
under the table thing you could do to somebody.
It is, and it was so immature. If you ever read the story, itself is an interesting look at how swatting definitely goes wrong. And the person who got shot wasn't even a party involved. It could have been me or you or anybody just hanging out of the house.
Yep.
And so this is good. I am glad that he at least is getting some kind of punishment for this.
I think the cops should probably get a little more scrutiny.
But what I think, too. Yeah. I think it should definitely... I don't think we should just go, okay, problem solved. I think we need to look at also some other things because I've been, you know, I hope I don't offend anybody, but I definitely think that it's good to have our police trained for high-stress situations and make good judgment. And if they aren't trained to do that now, then we need to figure out a way to make that happen.
Or
an impossible task.
This is what I would say. I think they're already trained for that kind of stuff. I think they specifically need to be trained to deal with this kind of thing. A fake call saying a place is a child porn operation and get over there now. And then know that this could be somebody just swatting somebody. Like, no, I don't think they even knew what that was when they got there. So there's a lot of questions in my mind about how you fix it. I have a lot of thinking on it. I know a lot of people have opinions on this. I just hope this acts as some deterrent for those who start this sort of stuff. Because there's nothing about swatting that's funny. There's nothing about it that's...
Trash.
It's shit. It's a big pile. Look at this. My hands are out. Imagine a big pile of steaming hot shit in my hands. That's what this is. Gotta go wash my hands now.
I gotta go wash them. I gotta bag a bag of crap.
That's right. Here is a phone call. Sidian says it. Swatting is bad. Police using their authority to murder innocents, also bad. Yeah.
Bad
across the lawn there. Here's a weird call for Brian that I can't make sense of. Are you ready for this?
Do it.
I'm going to turn down the radio so I can hear this. This is just a weird call calling you out. I don't know what they wanted or what this was about, but here it is. Check it out.
Brian, call me back. Call me back. Do it.
That's it.
I'll do it. I'm calling you back.
I don't know who that was.
Now, is that directly on the, on the boop line, or was that?
Well, see, that's the question, because FilmSack and TMS, it could be other Brians.
Yeah, we got other Brians. Yeah.
Yeah, but this one came via the top. Oh, now that you say that, I don't know if they did specify. Usually what someone will say is this is for whatever show, but they just dived right in. So it could be a different Brian, but I decided it was for you. So there you go.
Well, I'm calling back. I'm calling. Just chill out. I'll call after the show.
I get their numbers. I could give it to you.
Oh, you did get their numbers? Don't give me their numbers.
I deleted it, so I don't know what it is now. But I do keep. I do get those as part of it. I ignore them, but I do get their numbers.
I love the insistence, too. Brian, you know who I am. Brian, call me back. Brian.
Yeah, call me back. And it sounds like, for a minute, there it sounded like a kid, but then it sounded like maybe it was a adult lady.
Right.
I can't tell. Here's the first part's like a kid.
Brian, call me back.
It sounds like just some 11-year-old being a dork. But then.
Call me back.
That laugh is very like a cute girl did it, Brian.
Right. Brian, call me back. Call me.
I hate it.
Here's my number.
Whoa, that was loud. Sorry. I didn't mean to play that. That was me. Was that me? Hold on. I hate it. Yeah, that's me. All right. That's it for your calls. Wasn't much of one, but if you want to leave us one with more words in it, you can. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. We'd be glad to take it right here on the show. And you want to send us your emails, you can. boopshow@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at Boop Show. You can find our Reddit at boopshow.reddit.com and the show at frogpants.com/BOOP. Brian, you got anything else you want to mention? Anything else going on? Any final hot words for the listeners at home?
Sure. Smurfette, get your act together. Mm. Get some pants.
Put on some pants. It's not that hard, man. Just go put on some pants. Smurf pants.
I know. At least get some jeggings. Come on.
What are jeggings? I don't know what that is. Is that a thing?
Isn't that the blue jean stretchy pants?
I don't know. I've never heard of those.
I think that's what it's called. Jeggings.
I've heard of genties. Have you heard of these? We talked about
TMS.
I have
not heard of genties.
They're on TMS today. They're jeans that are cut short and tight like a pair of panties. Ah. So they call them janties or jeanties, like panties.
Oh, gross.
Yeah. What do you think of that? You
something,
like that?
Something about blue jeans should not be, they should not make it above like mid thigh. They should never go above mid thigh.
Yeah, you know what they should call them? Trousinis. Like a bikini, but trousers. But so trousini. Yeah. That's pretty
French
good.
Cut trousinis.
It sounds like good. I'll have that. Bring that out on a plate. It sounds like yummy food at a French restaurant.
Mm.
All right, we're done with the show. Thank you all for being here. It's been a pleasure, and we look forward to seeing you all next week when we do it again right here on the Boop Show. Goodbye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.